as you do sometimes when you get in a group of people and start talking, you start talking about preachers, talking about when you were little things you counted or little attributes that they had. And so I asked myself, well, what do I do? And one of the children said, well, when you start every message, you say, now y'all might have to help me out. Pray for me as we look into the Word of God. And do you know, that is not just rote. Because when we look into the Word of God, now I may say the same words, but every time when we come to this time, we are desperately in need of the presence of the Holy Spirit. For us to have a heart of prayer as we look into the Word of God, that He would bless us and it would be time well spent. So with that said, I do desire an interest in your prayers. And I guess that's exactly what I say as we look in the Word of God this morning. I would like to begin over in the book of Job, and I've written on the board the message title that the Lord gave me. Messages on the Accuser. I do not know that we will. I thought I would finish this morning, and as I walked down the sidewalk, I began to think that probably we wouldn't get done today with what the Lord has put on my heart to share with us. And if not, we'll just pick it up again next week, Lord willing. But in the book of Job, we'll begin reading with verse 1. It says, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. Now, consider this, that to begin with, the foundation is laid, as you know the story of Job, the afflictions, the persecution, the questions, his character, his walk with God, his integrity was called into question. His wife turned on him in essence. He lost his children. He lost his possessions. He lost all of the things of this life, really, that you could say was good. But there's one thing he did not lose, and that was his integrity with God. But before he lost it, the foundation is laid is that Job was a good man. And he was a man as perfect as you could be in the Old Testament. This was the man. And he feared God and he eschewed evil. In other words, he resisted evil. He didn't have anything to do with it. But I'd like us to take note of what happened with Job. The first few verses go through and tell about his wealth. And then they tells about his children. And you know, I believe his children brought some heartache to him. Job was a perfect man. He was a good man, probably a good father and a good husband. But his children were basically out partying. They weren't out working hard. They weren't out doing probably what they should have been doing. And in essence, I don't know what kind of relationship he had with his wife, but I know this, his wife did tell him, hey, life isn't worth it. And I think I could even begin to understand how she might feel if you were in her shoes. Things are so rough, you're suffering so much, it would be better, but she told him to curse God. That was the problem. So Job had some difficult things in life. He had burdens to bear because he was serving as a priest for his children. We find that Job was offering sacrifices in behalf of his children. He was a perfect man. As perfect in no one, and I know in a human sense is perfect, but his heart and desire, his motivation was perfect before the Lord. And so we find then reading in verse 6, it says, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. Now we ask, what's happening here? And there may be a lot of people have opinions and ideas, but let me just point out here, it is noteworthy that Satan and God have communication. Multiple places in the Scripture, and we're going to read some of them, but there is communication going on between God and Satan. God is the embodiment, if you allow me to say embodiment. I know God is a spirit, but He is the fulfillment of all that is good, in all that is perfect, all that is holy. But on the other side of that, Satan is the embodiment or the spirit of all that is evil, all that is wrong in this world, all of the heartache. Satan is an embodiment in a spiritual sense of that. Well, Satan came, and it said the sons of God. And the question is, what was happening here? Who are the sons of God? To help us understand just a little bit, if you will turn with me in the book of Job as well, in the 38th chapter. Job 38, and let's read verse 7. If you read the beginning, God was speaking to Job, and he was talking about how he said in verse 4, "Where wast thou when I laid the foundation of the earth?" In other words, when I created the world, where were you? Well, he wasn't there. God was laying down the foundation that I was there. I was there, I was the creator. And in verse 7 it says, when the morning stars sang together, he's talking about the creation, when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Now, we know that that was not referring then to mankind, because mankind had not been created. So who was it that shouted for joy at the creation? Well, it must have then been another creation of God, if you will. And so that many would indicate, in, I will say in the Septuagint, instead of saying sons of God here, it says the angels came before the Lord. Now, and in the Chaldee translation, it also says the angels. But if we deal with the Hebrew language here in this book of Job, and it says the sons of God, but yet we turn and get some context where the same phrase been used in chapter 38, it would indicate that it was a previous creation of God of some kind. Where did the angels come from? And that's not the essence of the burden this morning, but understand most likely the angels were in communion. And they were the ones that were rejoicing at the creation because they also saw that it was good. But it said here, and this is not, I do not believe this morning, based on other scriptures, and again, I'll just qualify this, I'm not giving a theological discourse on angels and where Satan came from this morning. But the point that I want to lay down is that Satan does have, he does have communication with God. So in a spiritual sense, if there are angels that are walking to and fro, if there are angels that are looking after you, they may have been coming in a spiritual sense and reporting to God. But with them, this Satan also came. Satan was there in a spiritual sense in discussing what was going on in this world. We find that God put a curse on Satan in the Garden of Eden. From the very beginning, there was communication between good and evil. Okay? Well, here we find another instance of communication between God and the enemy of our soul. And this is what the Lord said. The Lord said to Satan, "Whence comest thou?" And Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it." Remember the scripture said the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous and his ears are open to their prayers. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil. The Lord's eye is on what's going on in this life. But I want us to understand that it is not only God that is observant and knowing what's happening in this life. There is an enemy that all of us have, and his name is Satan. And he is there to oppose us. And he was in communication with God, and God said, "Where have you been, Satan?" He said, "I've been walking around, and I've been kind of looking at what's going on down in the earth. Been looking around and seeing what's going on." And the Lord said to Satan, and I almost think God was provoking Satan just a little bit here. He said, "Hast thou considered my servant Job?" You know, you see what's going on, but he said, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is none like him in the earth. And he's a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil." What a testimony for God to tell the devil, you see the evil, but have you looked at Job? He's a perfect man. He loves me. And he's doing right. Have you considered him? And Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast thou not made a hedge about him?" In other words, Satan began to question the motivations of Job and God himself. Well, you can say that Job is, you can say that he's upright and perfect, but But you know God. See, he was accusing God, the accuser. He was accusing God. Isn't it because you put a hedge about him? Do you notice that Satan asked lots of questions? He did not just say, you put a hedge about him. But here he said, hast thou not put a hedge about him? Take note of this as we continue in this message. Satan asked lots of questions. Do you know there is more power sometimes in asking a question than there is making a statement? Well, isn't it this way? Rhetorical question. God, you know. What about in the Garden of Eden? Did the devil make a definitive statement or did he not ask a question of Eve? Didn't God say, you see, there is more power when we think we come to the decision in our own mind. You know, they talk about in consensus building, you can come into a group of people and say, okay, folks, this is what we're doing. We're painting the chapel red. Y'all may sit there and think, Brother Michael, that we don't want to do that. But you might not say anything because I just came in and said, we're painting it red. But do you realize it? But then there'd be some, you know, there'd be this, some opposition, maybe verbal, maybe not. But there'd be some questions and there'd be some, but if you come in and say, what do you all think? What color do you think we ought to build? Consensus building is, and then maybe somehow we could slip in some red and try to talk about the virtue of red and what, I, red was out of the air. I should have picked a different color. But let's go with a different color. Let's say brown. But we could talk about how that would just look so nice and, but what do you all think? And do you know after a while you talk about something long enough and people start thinking it was their own idea? So they think, we decided that it's brown. Now you're not going to blame me if you don't end up liking the color because you all made the decision, but I kind of, you know, worked it. That's what politicians do all the time. They're trying to build consensus, but they want to make it like you think you're the one that's been empowered and you made the decision. Well, this is what the devil was doing. It's what he did with Adam and Eve. He asked questions just to try to make a point that they would come around to his way of thinking, but he did it by asking questions. Warning. Beware when the devil asks you a question. Beware. Well, he started asking God some questions. He said, you bless the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth your hand and touch all that he has, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. Folks, life and death is in God's hands. Life and death is in God's hands. But we find that God took the hedge down. In other words, he told the devil, he told Satan, he said, do what you will. You can't take his life. Do you have any trials this morning? Have any battles? Do you know that we are in a spiritual warfare this morning? We are in the middle of a severe spiritual battle between good and evil. And Satan, by definition, in the Hebrew, it means one who lies in wait. One who lies in wait. It also means, as you look into it, the opposer. One who opposes. It means the adversary. We have an adversary this morning. And it is the enemy. It is Satan. And I'm going to tie that in with the devil here a little bit. But Satan is our adversary. And there is one this morning that is standing even before God and accusing you. You say, now that's pretty strong. He is accusing every child of God of maybe not really living holy. Maybe they're really just doing this because of this. Questioning motivations. Questioning why you live like you live. Questioning why we do what we do. There is an enemy that is doing that this morning. It is the enemy's purpose this morning to destroy all of God's children. He has an agenda. Have you ever sat back and wondered, looked at what someone was doing and thought, seems like they have an agenda. What's their agenda? I want to just disclose this morning that there is a power of evil that has an agenda. He has an agenda this morning, and it is to oppress, it is to destroy, it is to undermine every child of God. And we look at the book of Job, and we see again Satan as an adversary, lying in wait. Job had not done wrong. Job was not, did not do something to deserve the things he went through. But it was because he was in the middle of a spiritual battle. And then we read the book of Job, and how many chapters are there with Job in anguish trying to understand, why am I going through this? And I wonder if Job would not have found maybe peace a little bit quicker if he would have known what had happened. If he would have been able to see and hear the conversation between his adversary and between God himself, and God was saying, hey, I'm behind this man. This is a man that loves me. But yet Job didn't realize that, and so he's struggling. And then Satan sent friends, and they questioned his motivations, didn't they? They questioned his integrity. They question his walk with God. They question, well, you brought this on yourself. That's what his friends, so Job is trying to mentally work through this. But I wonder if he would have just seen and known that there was a battle between good and evil going on. All of the time though, Job still said, I looked around for God and I didn't see him, but he said, he knows the way that I take. His faith was fixed. So he knew something enough to keep his faith in God. But I want to encourage us this morning to know that we will not always know and understand the whys. Job, the book of Job, is about trying to understand. And some of the things that I know all of us, there are things that I'm someone, if I understand why, I can deal with it a whole lot better. It's the things I don't understand that give me more problems. I don't understand. And it gives me difficulty. If Job would have known why, I think he could have said, okay, I'm in the middle of battle, Lord, I'm trusting you. And when his friends, and I say in quotes, when his friends came along with all of this other stuff, Job could have just either answered not a word, he could have just been quiet, or he could have said, you know what? The Lord is in control, my faith is in God, and I still love him. End of discussion. But there was one who was opposing him. Saints, there is one that opposes us this morning. And if we can recognize that, I believe that we can find some victories maybe sooner, or at least help us to find a place of balance in our lives to recognize that we are in a spiritual battle. I can tell you when the devil fights hard, that I believe it was Charles Spurgeon that says, the Satan does not kick a dead horse. In other words, the object of the enemy is to try to destroy or undermine or kick those that love him. And if you're in the heat of a battle, thank God. And that's so much easier to say, just, you know, thank God from the pulpit, than it is when you're in the middle of a battle. Then it's like, Lord, I don't understand, and why, and this and this, and our peace disturbed. But folks, we are in a battle this morning. And when we are in the heated furnace, know that God is still in control. But recognize there is an enemy. There is one that is opposing us. And about the time you don't feel opposed, that's the time I say, hey, you better be careful. Satan doesn't kick a dead horse. And if he's not kicking, then I'm going to start saying, am I even alive? But if you love the Lord this morning, the devil is going to contest your experience with God. When you get saved, what's one of the first things so many times the devil comes along shortly thereafter? You're not saved. You don't have anything. What do you do with that? Thank the Lord. Does God deal that way? No. So if we can recognize the enemy for what he is, the enemy comes in a very loud way sometimes, and he shouts accusations on the housetop, and other times he comes with a whisper. He comes not with a statement even, but with a question. Do you really think you have the Holy Spirit? Are you a real Christian? You really think, Brother Randy, you're a real Christian like the rest? Who is that? Do you recognize when the Holy Spirit brings conviction in our life, He gives us, He brings conviction, and there can be guilt. There can be places that we're uncomfortable because of the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. But when it's the Holy Spirit, He does it to bring us into a close relationship with God, and He shows us what to do. When you just have those accusations and that discontent and it just all these questions and that turmoil, that's the devil. That's Satan. And he is standing at God sometimes. It's like, yeah, you know this family, or you see this one, or you know the congregation, or you know, yeah, God, I really think we're being put to a test. So let's not maybe be discouraged. Let's not give in to the oppression, because that's the devil's job. He's trying to destroy. The devil is doing everything he can. He's laying in wait for all of us this morning to destroy us. This is going to turn into a series, it looks like. He's doing all he can to destroy us in our life. But I'm thankful, Job, the example he set, that, Lord, I'm not giving up. I'm not giving up, but I'm still going to serve you. Now, the enemy has a purpose. If you will turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6, and I would like us to, in a very familiar passage, but again, if we understand that we are in a battle, I believe it will help us to know how to fight sometimes. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with verse 12. Actually, let's read verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Our strength this morning does not rest in our own ability. Our strength does not rest this morning in our power to figure things out. Our strength this morning does not rest that I am in these four walls, or my last name is Smith, or I went here to college, or our power this morning rests in God Himself. And as we heard in Sunday school this morning, God is no respecter of persons. Our power this morning lies in the divine power, the creator of the universe. And so he said, put on the whole armor of God. Don't leave anything off that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. In other words, the wiles, the trickery, the trap. Satan is the name of the chief evil demon that is in this world. Satan is his name. In the Old Testament, in the New Testament, it is the devil. And I want to point something out. In our English language has some issues sometimes in translation. One of the commentators brought out that there is never in the Scripture, in the Greek, devil is never plural. Okay? It's always singular. Now, the place that says Jesus cast out devils, if you look at the Greek word, it means demons. So there are forces of evil at work, but the devil is the chief force of evil. His name, in the Hebrew, it was Satan. It was adversary. And in the New Testament, we read about the devil. But do you know what devil means in the Greek? It means the accuser. That's what devil means. He is the accuser. Well, there is one that is accusing. And he said, put on the whole armor of God that you can stand against the wiles of the devil. The accusations of the devil. The trickery of the devil. The snare of the devil. And he said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. In other words, we are in a battle this morning, but it's not a natural battle. It's a spiritual battle. And he said, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And then he said, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. There is a place for us this morning through the power of God that we can stand against the adversary. That we can stand against the accuser. And Lord help us. Words are inadequate. We are in a battle, and I believe if our eyes were opened up to the spirits that are in this world, if our eyes were opened up that we could see the power and influence of evil, the traps that Satan has laid, but in a little closer sense, if we could just know and see the accuser for what he is. When your salvation is contested, if it is the Holy Spirit, he's going to say, this is what you need to fix in your life. This is what's wrong. It's C, point C. You know, point C is what you need to fix. When it's the devil, he comes along and says, you're not living right. You're not holy. You really think that you're not an example. You're not an example. You're not doing it right. And he just, or questions, do you really think? See, this is how we can start knowing the difference between conviction of the Holy Spirit and the enemy. The enemy just tries to make us feel bad. The Lord, on the other hand, the Holy Spirit, shows us and reveals things to us that we might improve to come into a closer relationship with God. So what are we going to do when these vague accusations come? Sometimes, like I said, sometimes they're shouted aloud, and sometimes it's the whisper. I'm in a spiritual battle. Let's fight spiritually then. The weapons of our warfare are not what? Not carnal, but mighty through God. See, here we always come back to God. He didn't say through the church. He didn't say through the ministry. He didn't say through your own strength. He said they're mighty through God to the pulling down of what? Strongholds. And then what did he say next? Casting down what? Where do imaginations come from? Well, they come from within. Who and from the mind. Who put them there? The accuser. The accuser. It's his job to make you feel like you can't live saved. To make us feel like that we're not what we ought to be. To make us feel, again, when it's the Spirit, there's a difference. But we have an adversary this morning. The Scripture says he's an adversary. The devil is as a what? Roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He's walking around wanting to destroy. He's wanting to undermine your personal experience with God. Sometimes we can look at things and say, oh, the devil's working over there. But the battle many times in our minds, the devil, the accuser, that's the devil, his name means accuser, he is there to destroy, to plant thoughts, to lessen our faith in Christ Jesus and what his blood did in our life. So we need to take on the whole armor of God, that we could stand against the wiles of the devil. The chief force of evil then is Satan, or the devil. And he came, and in it, and the Scripture talks about him in one place being the prince of the power of the air. One place the Scripture talks about the gods of this world. There are powers this morning that we are fighting. But there is an accuser. There is an adversary. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter 21. Read verse 1. And Satan, or the adversary, stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. Remember the story about David numbering Israel to kind of see how big his army was, to see where his strength was? Where is our strength supposed to come from this morning? It's supposed to come from God. It's not supposed to come from our many years of serving God. It doesn't come from all of our experience and knowledge and even our human wisdom, but it comes from God Himself. So then the only way we can withstand the enemy is to be in contact with God today. So Lord, help me to get close to You that I can withstand the wiles of the devil. Because folks, the devil's smart. And God knows where we live. Satan has our address. The enemy knows exactly where you live. He's got a GPS, and it gets down to he can tell you to the inch where you live. But you know what God does too? And that's the joy of it this morning. This is not a message of defeat, okay? So if you don't get all that this morning, come back. But this is not a message of defeat. But understand, there is an accuser. And he's operating to undermine and destroy. And he knows our weaknesses. So what does the devil do? What does Satan do? He kicks the horse. He kicks those. He opposes those that are serving the Lord. He's opposing those that are walking with God. He's opposing those in every way that he can. He will try to cause us to be discouraged in our experience with the Lord. And if we start feeling discouraged and we say, well, it's that circumstance and it's that person and it's them and it's... Wait, we're in a spiritual battle. So then, Lord, help me to understand as we face life that it's not that and it's not them. It's the accuser. You see, we're fighting... Tell you something. Do you know when the devil, some of the times that he fights me the hardest? I'll just tell you, if you know I'm going somewhere to a meeting, pray for me. You know why? Because the devil fights. I can about count on it. And when the Lord comes in and has something for me to do, and the Lord's working and dealing in my life, and directing me and giving me some inspiration somewhere, you can about count on the enemy coming along to bring something along to try to discourage me from doing what God has for me to do. Have you found that to be so? When the Lord comes in and He's working, or He has something for you to do, or there's something, you can about count on the devil every time. Why is that? That's not happenstance. It's because we're in a spiritual battle. And it's because those things that if we're going to be successful, if you will allow me to use that term, successful in our service to God, it's going to be in spite of difficulties. It's going to be in spite of difficult people. It's going to be in spite of ourselves. It's going to be in spite of all those things because we're not serving ourselves. We're not here to make life just easy and convenient. It's, Lord, we want to serve You. We want to do Your work. We want to do Your bidding. I'm not saved by my own strength, but by the blood of Jesus. So when the accuser comes, we need to realize it's a spiritual battle that we're in. And so let's fight it spiritually. Let's fight with prayer. Let's fight with truth. Let's fight because, you know, when you get under, and I'm going to have to stop here because we'll keep going if I don't stop now. Do you realize that if we begin to get under the power of accusation, under the power of the enemy, reality, your perceptions become your reality. You see, when you listen long enough, this is why Job struggled. The devil was doing it. Satan was doing it. He was accusing him. And then everybody that came along had that little word to offer, sometimes a whole lot more than a word. And all of it pointed to is, you're not what you ought to be. And so Job struggled with that because he was trying to recognize, is this reality then, or what's going on? Where am I with God? Why is this happening? But I am so thankful. Job said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. This morning, our Redeemer liveth. So as we go out and face this week, recognize there is an accuser. Remember, that's what the Greek word for devil means. Accuser. For slanderer, to tear down, to destroy who you are in the Lord. Does that bring anything into focus in our lives? Does it start bringing in to know that it's His job to slander you? It's His job. That's His business. Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. What's Satan saying? Well, I'm about my business too. And it's to destroy, it's to undermine, it's to accuse, it's to make you feel bad. So Lord, help us to go forward with faith, knowing our Redeemer liveth, and by the grace of God, we can make it this morning. And I will just point, we'll all conclude with it, we'll get there another day. The accuser has been cast down. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. But let's go out recognizing we're in a spiritual battle. We can't sit back. We can't be at ease. We need to fight. We need to stand up in the power of God, and we have authority over the enemy. But there is an accuser that is out to undermine.